What's up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? My name is Angel Lakita Moore Tanksley, also known as That Chick Angel. I'm one of the hosts of this show, and I am joined by my gorgeous, sexy, strong, hilarious, sometimes inebriated husband and co-host. Tell him who you are.
You damn right. Marcus Tanksley. A.K.A. Tank, A.K.A. That Heifer, A.K.A. Marcus Ain't on the Gram, Marcus Ain't on the Book.
All the things.
All it.
We are the hosts of this podcast that goes up every single Wednesday, where he and I figure out if our topic is going to cause an argument. Sometimes it don't be the topic that causes an argument. Sometimes it's just trying to start the podcast that causes an argument. Or it could be an argument that was starting before the podcast that just bleeds into
could
this
be something
argument.
Something from February.
And knowing Marcus, that's probably the case.
No, that's from you.
Whatever. Anyways, we absolutely love doing this podcast for you all, but we specifically love doing this with our Patreon, which we call our immediate family.
Yeah.
They are actually watching this live. We're able to see all of their comments. We see Carrie Baker, Janine Presbury, Mrs. Barksdale, Dottie Little. I see Chyna, Erica, Shay, Yvonne. We've got all the folk up in here.
All up in the field.
And we would love for you to join our Patreon. It's for the low low of $5 a month. That's 16 cents a day. And you get live content from us, as well as early access to content that we create. We also want to give a huge shout out to the sponsors of this episode. Mm-hmm. These are the people that make it possible for us to be able to pay for editors, for us to be able to do this on time, because, you know, we can pay for babysitters and things and whatnot. All right. So those podcast sponsors are Magic Spoon, Rothy, and Third Love. We'll be telling you more about them further on into the episode. But what we're going to do today is start off with a segment we like to call In My Feelings. There's been so much happening this week and only so much we're going to talk about. But I want to tell y'all what's got me feeling some type of way. You okay with me starting off with this segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, as those of you all probably who have followed us for a while, you can especially follow us on That Chick Angel TV on YouTube. And this week, we'll be launching Tanksley TV, so you can subscribe over there as well. For our anniversary, we take turns planning the trip.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually a surprise to the other person. It's just like a little, you know, thank you for being my spouse type of thing that we have agreed that we would do.
Yeah. Gotten slightly competitive over the years.
Yes.
We naturally competitive people. It's like, oh, that was sweet. I'm going to tear you up.
I'm going to tear it up.
Don't let this embarrass you. You're going to be ashamed that you sent me to this nice place.
You can check out some of our old podcasts where we've talked about the different trips. Well, obviously, because of the pandemic, it has, especially last year, it really restricted what we were capable of doing. Marcus asked me for a little bit of an assist. I gave him an idea. He took it and ran with it and executed beautifully. We were on a yacht in the marina, and we had it. A chef prepared a whole seafood spread. It was just a really nice. Usually we do a couple of day trip.
Yeah, we go somewhere for the weekend or for the week.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, we try to make it out of the country or at least off the continent of the U.S.
Right, right.
But
obviously,
of course, last year and this year is a little different.
It's a little different. Well, this year, more and more, as compared to last year, more and more places have opened up their borders for travel, even though the pandemic isn't over. Because the vaccine is rolling out, there's been a little more leniency on where people can travel.
Yeah.
So I am doing my due diligence because it's my year. And our anniversary is July 14th, so we like to travel early to mid-July. I'm already, looking, right? We in April. Let's start looking, right? Don't want to wait
Previous
till last
years,
minute.
It starts, well, I don't know about Angel. I start looking in, December, January.
Oh, no, I start.
That's why I be.
While we're on the trip that you've planned.
It's because you just. It's because you intimidated. No, by the
never.
Lavishness you surrounded by.
Whatever. So I'm looking up places. I'm looking up safe places to travel during the pandemic. And there's like this one website that has 10 places. When I tell you the first 6 out of the 10 were all like, oh, the numbers are down here. You can do such and such activities. This place is closed to Americans.
Yeah. The Americans are the new, Italy? Is that where it was like? Yes. The U.S. is the new Italy. Like, nobody wants to deal with our dirty asses.
So I was just like, wait. And what was crazy was that most of these places are places that I really would want to go. But just like trying to find a place that I could feel comfortable, I was like, okay, we can just, you know, we can do this.
Like, no, we don't want you over here. Y'all disgusting. Y'all don't know how to take control of a virus that you could kill off by washing your hands.
Yes. So
stay on away from here.
So I was just like, so finally when I got to the like the last 3 or 4, it started having places that I was like, okay, maybe this. All right, let's do it. So I then, because that's not the end of my research, I then am going to check with, well, it really actually that wasn't the case. I was about to say, I was like, let me go check with the CDC. That's not really what I was doing. I was then looking up COVID restrictions in the place and when I within the place. And when I typed that into Google, first thing that came up was CDC travel notices. Every place that one website said was open to Americans was on tier 4 for the CDC. Tier 4 is the highest tier for the CDC when it comes to COVID. And their travel notice or recommendation is to avoid travel to this place at all cost. Yeah. Every single place. All the places that you all are seeing people traveling to now that people are like, I need a vacation, I need to go. All at a 4. Jamaica, Turks and Caicos, all of Mexico. Okay, so these Cancun, Cabo people, they're traveling to places that are number 4 on the CDC. Almost every place. Other than the British Virgin Islands, every place in the Caribbean or Caribbean is at a 4 or 3.
The thing is we originally we were like, nah, we ain't going nowhere. It's crazy out here. Then we keep seeing everybody traveling. It's like, well, maybe we in the dark. Maybe we just being too stubborn about this whole thing. Why don't we go ahead and look at doing some traveling? We were right.
Right. I was just like, it sucks balls. So anyways, it's got me feeling some type of way. We resolved that more than likely, I'm going to find domestically a really nice resort and spa situation where we can hopefully get some treatments, can go back to hotel, eat, smash, go back to get some more treatments, eat, smash, sit in a pool or sit in a jacuzzi.
Smash,
eat, watch something on the TV. Smash, eat. Yeah, so that's
pretty much. Y'all just got a glimpse into every time we go on vacation or anniversary. We come back sore. Exhausted, just tired. We going back to work the next week, be exhausting. I ain't got the energy. You just came from vacation. It was exhausting.
I gave away all my life force. So it's got me feeling some type of way because I would love for us to be able to go someplace tropic, someplace really hot, someplace where I have to be careful because I might get sunburned.
Yeah, that's our thing. We like being places like hot, tropically hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like not Arizona hot where it just stings.
Yes,
we
exactly.
We will be around some humidity, some palm trees.
Some liquor.
Some water.
Yeah.
Preferably warm liquor.
Yeah, so that's not.
Some hosts.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Walk around. Do you need anything else? You know what?
Yeah. You give me that.
Fact, I do.
I want to be able to wake up early in the morning, have me some breakfast. Maybe that breakfast is Magic Spoon.
Yeah,
because we would take it with us. Absolutely. Because Magic Spoon is just that fantastic, and they are a sponsor of today's episode. I know
you so well. I can usually catch it. You got me that time.
I did. Yeah. Hey, Magic Spoon has sponsored our podcast several times. And those of you all who know us know that we keep cereal on lock. Cereal is a staple, like, meal in our household.
Yeah.
And Marcus and I are both of the age where eating sugary cereal is just not an option. Eating cereal that just has just empty calories and just a bunch of sugar, our bodies respond very quickly to it, and it's not in a way that we appreciate, all right? But with Magic Spoon, you're getting so many great things, and you're not lacking the flavor or the taste that you really want. So, some things about Magic Spoon that you probably don't know, but we would love to share with you. My husband's supposed to give me the copy. He's like, go on ahead. You got it. You know
about her. I'm sorry.
No, I don't know all the things, but what I do know is that there's 0 grams of sugar. Which is huge. I'm telling you,
if you were to go, because it went over some people's heads.
0 grams of sugar. If you were to go and look on the side of most of the cereal boxes that are sold inside the grocery store, including the ones that are considered like healthy and good for your heart, and look at the side, you would be shocked at how much sugar is in there. There's also 13 to 14 grams of protein, which is huge. Protein is really important to your diet. And 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, and only 140 calories a serving. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. And they've got exciting news. Magic Spoon is relaunching the blueberry flavor.
Hey, I almost caught attitude, y'all.
One of your favorite flavors is now back in stock after being sold out, because that was Marcus's favorite flavor. Mine is frosted, but I am super excited to start doing the bundle of cocoa and peanut butter. Get that Reese's. They have you can build your own box with the available flavors, so you can do it with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. And if you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there. So this is what we want you to do. Go to magicspoon.com/argue to grab some blueberry or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today. And be sure to use our promo code argue at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked.
None.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/argue.
Argue.
And remember to use the code
argue
to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Boo, 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 boo. That's our sitter getting here to watch our child. You go ahead and tell them what's got you in your feelings.
Fam, It's quite a few things got me in my feelings. There's so much I can't talk about. I will say yet, maybe. I don't know. But what's got me in my feelings, I ain't even been able to... It's been crazy. I should have been thinking about that while Angel was talking, but like, that's one of the things. It's like, anniversary's been big with... last year, like I said, it was unexpected. Luckily, we put our heads together, and we actually put our heads together this year. She actually had the idea of doing the whole spa thing, and then, or that was one of the things presented. She presented that as an idea, but it's like, amongst many other things, like, we pretty much gotten out of this thing, this pandemic, like, unscathed. So it is annoying not being able to do like the usual traditional things. Like, usually during this time of year, coming rolling up would be like Angel's birthday party, would be a big massive fiasco at the house, a whole bunch of stuff go happening, and then shortly after we would be somewhere. I'd be in some flip flops,
some flippy floppies,
in my flippy floppies.
Yeah,
you would kink go straight flipping copies.
Come on, bud. What was your specific in my feelings? Are you giving them a vague answer?
Just a vague answer, but like that, the whole thing of this time of year being damping, like last year was like caught off guard completely. This year is like, all right, you know exactly what you might be doing, which is the same thing as last year, which is worse because you had the experience last year, and now you know what kind of what you can kind of expect.
Mm-hmm.
But it does like kind of like, man, but you know, so much stuff I can't talk about.
Mm-hmm. Just life.
And that's what's absorbing.
What's got
this drive is really got me in my feelings, y'all.
Okay, I was like, I know you got specifics that you can talk about.
Yeah, y'all driving to work right now, it's not close to the house. Mm-mm. And that drive is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I can numb my... And I actually, you know what's worse about it? Is at night, it seems much longer.
Like you feel that?
Because it's like, it's literally half the time it takes to get back home.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you get here so quick.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I don't know if it's because I've been at work all day and it's like, yeah, I'm, you know, on the road driving, but it's getting daunting and it's starting to get to me. And I think they know it at work. I think they can see it.
So let me tell you what's got me feeling great and nervous is the tour. So today, Kevin officially announced that I am on the tour by announcing all the dates for Slightly Problematic Take 2. How do you feel about me going on tour?
I don't know. You know, because, you know, Angel be out here in these streets, y'all.
What?
I be catching Angel.
Oh, let's tell him the story real quick.
Nah, we ain't tell.
Oh, we not? No, you just brought it up.
I'm saying in general.
Okay.
I'm just saying in general. Because I don't want to make you look bad. You're going to look real bad if we
I'm okay with how anyway, I look.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. No, I don't know. Like, I'm excited for the growth. Uh-huh. Like I said, Angel literally said she was done doing stand-up because she said that ain't her. She's married. She has children. She ain't trying to be on stage and doing this whole hustle and bustle. And literally, like, 2 weeks later, she was like, yeah, so I'm going on tour.
It's not.
It may have been the same week.
It's not that. No, it was nowhere near the same week. The thing about doing stand-up that I was like definitely quitting and still have quit is I'm not out here trying to prove myself. Let me just
weekly. Let me get up here and get these 5 minutes in, man. They got a spot open, you know, hanging around because that's it, like the stand-up comedy world. I don't know about it because I'm not in it, but it's like, it's a hustle hard career.
Right.
Like, you got to get up there. The people that are trying to keep their material fresh have to get up on stage. Like, even Dave Chappelle, you see, he goes and just performs at random nightclubs because one, he wants to keep his material relevant. And two, he's got to be able to stay, you know, witty. You got to be able to stay on it and like, be able to come up with stuff when you're writing the jokes.
And I'm also like, not...
driving me crazy. All right.
Thank you. I'm not in love with it the way comics be acting like they, just miss the stage. Yeah. Man, I miss it. Oh, like they like fiends. I just been so long since I didn't touch the mic and talk to the people.
It's like, yeah, I'll host if you want me to.
Well, and the thing is, what I actually enjoy doing is hosting.
Yeah.
So.
Not doing, just going up doing the
set. Ugh, that's just like, give me my 10 minutes. Let me see if I can give you something that I wrote out that sounds funny and more than likely it will be. But it's more so the audience.
Yeah.
More than likely it might not be like the funniest thing you've ever heard, but you're definitely going to be amused and you're going to laugh. But I enjoy audience interaction. I enjoy being able to be like looking at what somebody's doing and talking to them about that and bringing the whole audience into this conversation. And you don't get to do that when you're not as much when you're doing just your 10 minutes because you want to work, you want to do the material that you wrote. Mm-hmm. So Kev asking me to go on this tour, while I did not know what all it entailed, I said yes, thinking the tour would get canceled.
Literally. That was, she was like, she told me about it. She was like, yeah, he asked me to go on tour, but that tour ain't happening. World's ending. They ain't about to go on no tour.
I said, COVID going to shut this tour down, so I ain't worried about it.
He kept talking about this tour. He's like, yes, so we got these places locked in. Angel's like, y'all ain't kidding.
Right. I'm just waiting. And he keeps adding in more dates. I'm like, right. Because this is the same man that when I started working on Here's the Thing in June of last year, he was like, after day two of me working there, he was like, I'm going to be going back on tour in August. And I was like, mm-hmm, right, you are. Mm-hmm. And knowing, I was like, what tour are you going on? Everything is closed. Who are you touring to? So I just figured, okay, this is not happening again. So, and then the vaccine is rolled out. More and more people have been taking the vaccine. And I was like, woo.
She ain't got nothing in her nose.
Do I? Somebody say I got something in my nose.
Let's see. No. I don't know. It might be the lighting, y'all.
Okay. Thank y'all.
Whisper the angels. Appreciate it.
Thank y'all. I appreciate it because I hate I do a whole show and Booger just talking as loud as me.
I'm like, y'all didn't see this during the show? Like, Marcus, no, we couldn't see
it. We couldn't see it. So, I mean, okay, but, so yeah, how do you feel? What are you thinking?
Like I said, I'm excited, you know, for the, like, that's, like I said before, that's a whole new category of potential fans / followers / people that's going to see you that most of them, like I said, 90% of them have never seen you do stand-up.
Right.
Like, ever.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. As far as you, like, being gone and being away, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
I mean, how, okay, if you don't know how you feel about that, how do you feel about having to be with the boys? Like, you will now be, I, for their entire life thus far, have typically been the primary caregiver for the kids because he's worked out of the house for at least 10 hours a day. He's gone, at least.
At the minimum.
At the minimum. So, you know, they also, then they sleep 10 hours a day. So that leaves him with, at most, which is usually not the case, 4 hours in the work week per day to engage with his kids. So now that is going to be flipped on his head. How do you feel about that?
I'm good with it outside of Amar.
Tell me that why outside of Amar?
Well, I mean, the rest of the boys, they self-sustaining almost. I just got to make sure they clean, they eat. And sleep. That they gonna sleep. But Amar's the one that's, you know, need, well, of course, need the most attention. Mm-hmm. And he's a handful, y'all.
You think so?
Yes. Amar, if I had Amar first, we would not have any other kids. He would be the only child running around here.
Oh, don't say that.
No, I'm saying it, I mean it. I can't wait for him to be old enough to understand, like, when he's a teenager, I'm gonna let him know.
What makes him so difficult to you?
He's difficult.
What, like what?
He's into everything. He don't listen. He's just spitefully does stuff. And right now he's definitely in the terrible twos. Like, whatever he's playing with is his. He owns it. And if you take it from him, or if it's not doing what he wants it to do, then he's screaming and crying. It's a screaming and crying I can't take. Right now he ain't even crying no more. He just yells and screams.
Yeah, he's a yeller. He's
and that makes me wish he was 18 so I could bust him all in his chest.
Oh, not my baby.
Yeah, your baby.
Not my baby. Oh, he's
just all in the chest. All about your bronchitis.
He's a lot. So
he's a lot.
But like,
I need a trampoline. Him on a trampoline. And he just needs part time. He needs outdoors. The other part, the other side of that is, to all of their credit, is they've actually done really well. Being cooped up in his house.
They've done extraordinarily
well, not being able to go out, go to school, run off energy, be around people, socialize, just being up in his house. Granted, they have each other, and even in the house, it's like I have to tone down my strictness. It's like, all right, they in the house. They ain't got nothing to do. Let them run the screen. It's going to happen. They need it.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that Amar definitely needs is he needs to be let loose in a fenced park and just let him run. I'm going to take him to a dog park.
Oh, no. Just, it's just too much boo-boo. He will pick up boo-boo. Yeah, you won't. I just...
Just unleashing. What kind of... Oh, yeah, he won't bite. Well, he might.
How much help do you think you'll need on a weekly basis?
That's the thing. I'm not sure. I don't know. For one, I need to focus in on your schedule, find out when you'll be here. Look at my schedule, find out what I'm doing, and then kind of... That's something that still needs to be designed, I guess.
Yeah, because the one thing, because I leave after school. I leave after school has ended or around when school has ended.
Yeah.
But when...
You'll still be on tour when school starts.
Right. So that's the part that I think you might not be fully, like...
I haven't thought about that.
You have?
Yeah, quit limiting me.
I'm not limiting you.
I'm not talking about what I ain't thought about. Just like your baby.
Just like my baby what?
Amar.
What is
getting on my nerves.
I am nervous and excited. If I'm 100% honest, I'm definitely excited to not have the daily responsibilities of this household always on my shoulders. I literally, other than our vacations, mm-hmm. and even still, it still be kind of sitting on my shoulders. I am constantly in, schedule out this thing, make sure somebody has this thing, make sure somebody has that thing. For the past almost 12 years. Yeah. This will be the first time where legitimately I'm going to be like this and it's all you. I mean, obviously when I'm back at the house, I'll be there to assist you instead of when you come home, you're kind of assisting me. And if I haven't told you exactly what to do, you don't even know. Like right now, the kids are in virtual school. Marcus would not know how to get them into their next class.
No, I know how to do all that now.
It's changed.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to do the new way. Yeah. The old way. I could be like, hey, teacher. Now, I used to do this. What I need to do now?
Now that some of the kids are hybrid, it's changed. These classes that they're in right now are so bull. I'm very frustrated. But, yeah, it's changed. That's the reason why, you know, they know how to get into their classes. But now they don't because it's a different system. So, just
if they ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, they had to change it because of the hybrid.
Yeah. Well, they're about to be back in school, so.
They're about to be.
They're trying. This is a little stupid. They're trying to get them back into school, like, this year. I'm like, that makes no sense. School about to be over with. Why are you having this push to get these kids? They want money. They aren't getting money.
No, they don't get some of the bailout money unless they have kids in seat.
Oh, hell with them people. As long as the teachers is paid, don't nobody worry about everybody else.
So yeah, that's, I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm excited to wave from stage, at some of the Angel Wings and Tanks Riders because we will not be doing a meet and greet. So there will be no way for me to be able to meet up with you before, after to say hello because of good old COVID. But I promise you this. Before I get off stage, I will be like, are there any Angel Wings or Tanks Riders in this building so that I can wave and see your face from the stage and just tell you to your face, thank you, and how much me and Marcus love you.
So make sure y'all pull up and peel out.
Pull up, peel out, fly in, swoop off. You know what I'm saying? Hey. Do you have anything that's got you feeling good?
Maybe.
I know. One of my personal friends.
It's funny because he's on here and you're...
Yes, and he's texting me. One of my personal friends, who is also an Angel Wings, a stage crew, a Tanks Rider, he will be at my show in my hometown. I kick off the tour. Isn't that crazy that I'm kicking off the tour in our hometown? Mm-hmm. I don't do the first couple of dates of the tour because I just said I ain't doing it. But in June, ooh, I probably need to go ahead and get our tickets for that. We need to figure out your time off for that. In June, we are going to Lexington.
That's May, isn't it?
What's May?
Lexington.
No, June. June 3rd through the 5th. Sure. I'm going to hurt you. June 3rd through the 5th is when I start the tour. And anyways, I just said to you all that I'm not going to be meeting anybody face to face. And he texted me, OBITCH, we meeting. Oh, that's what friends are for. All right, you got anything got you feeling good before we jump into the topic?
Yeah, stuff.
Marcus, you in this vagueness.
I'm trying not to say stuff that I ain't supposed to be saying.
So have something else. You see, I had something else. We going through the same thing.
You can calm down. That's what you need to do. That's what got me feeling good. I'm going to finally put my hands on you for the third time today.
What's got you feeling good, silly?
You know what? What's got me feeling good? Also the tour. You doing this and then me being able to figure things out without the influence of you. Because mm-hmm. Angel's overbearing sometimes, y'all, when you try to do stuff.
Why are you going to just say I'm overbearing?
It's okay, though. She means well. But it'll free me up to be able to step out and do things without that watchful eye over my shoulder. Saying, why don't you do it this way? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, why don't you get mine?
I will. Pull it out. Pull that booty out. I kiss it. Cute little booty. Get the cutest booty. You know what else that I have that's cute are my Rothy shoes. So, you guys, can't wait to tell you all about this company that is sponsoring today's episode. I got two pair of Rothy shoes. They're flats. They are probably two of my most comfortable shoes. It's like, because Marcus has been on this kick of buying me tennis shoes, which was never my style before. I used to dress like more of a dressy casual, and I would like to have a nice flat. These Rothys is where it's at. This is where I would automatically be like drawn to, right? Because I wasn't a sporty girl. But you know, got a little extra weight on me. I got all these kids. I'm not out here trying to run around in heels unless I absolutely have to. And Rothy gives the most comfortable, stylish shoes you could ever dream of. But that's not the thing that I really want to focus on when talking about this company. What I really want to talk about is their responsibility and their sustainability. They make all of their shoes out of repurposed material, like plastic bottles and marine plastic. So they're taking what people have tried to, you know, throw away as waste and turn it into beautiful, sustainable, comfortable shoes that have zero break-in period. You know how when you first get a shoe, you put it on and like, it's a little tight, but you know, after I wear this a couple times, these are going to fit perfectly. You ain't got to worry about that because they're seamless knit to shape design. And they have so many styles and so many like designs that it can fit any piece in your wardrobe. They are available in an array of colors, prints, and patterns. They are equal parts comfortable and chic. And truly, they are one of the most comfortable shoes. Also, the thing that I really like about them is you can wash these. So they always stay looking clean and nice. So if you were to want to wash them, you just take the insole out, toss them into the washing machine, and they come out looking like new. Like, you ain't gonna get that in no other shoe. Also, they have amazing handbags, right, and masks right now. So you can get other things other than shoes. So handbags and masks. So this is what we want you to do. Check out all the amazing shoes, bags, and masks available right now at rothys.com/argue.
Argue.
That's Rothys.com, rothys.com/argue.
Argue.
Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/argue today.
Today.
Yeah, no, I have this cheetah print and then I have this blue camo. And the blue camo, what I like about it is that the inside is red. It's fire. And it's like a dark, dark blue camouflage. They cute. They very chic. I'm just trying to tell you. Thank you, Rothy's, for sponsoring this podcast. Okay. So you ready to go into the topic?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought you might have figured out finally what you wanted to say that wasn't vague or using the same topic as me.
What's got me feeling good is we constantly figure out how we made today's topic work. So we'll talk about it in the topic.
All right. So today's topic is how we have made our marriage work. Like, what has been the keys to our happy marriage? Not the keys to a happy marriage.
Yeah.
But the keys to the Tanksleys being happily married.
Yeah.
Now, were you about to say what was the thing that made you...
Well, earlier we said successful.
Successful, that's the word. You were right, it's successful.
Yeah, successful and happy is two different things.
You are correct. Listen, you are very correct. Yeah. I'm not even going to take it as shade because you that's truthful. That's truthful. Happy and successful are two different things. And like a lot of people think that one brings upon the other. And that's not the case. Maybe if you put happiness before successful, if you're happy, maybe you are successful regardless.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Like if you're happy in your marriage, consider that successful. However, there still could be
some things you ain't as happy about, but your marriage is still successful.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump into it.
One of the there's a show we reviewed, Married at First Sight. One of the Dr. Pepper, I think, said, no human is perfect, therefore a marriage can't be perfect.
Correct.
It's like, and then we've talked about it on here, and we brought it up multiple times where you got these people like, oh, we're 100% happy and You know, we've never had a disagreement. We love everything about each other. We this, we that. And that means one or both of y'all are not telling the truth.
You know, they asked if they rated their marriage 1 out of 10. Who? What would you rate ours? This was on Marriage Rate Ours?
This is what I disagreed. Because for the marriage to be a 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10 is not calling it perfect. But even in an argument, I could rate an argument successful if we came to a conclusion and how I came out of it with a better understanding. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I disagree with them. I can't say that I have a 10 out of 10 marriage.
Mm, okay. Tell me why.
And I just said it, but you weren't listening. I'm going to say it again for people in the back. No, because like every marriage is going to have its ups and downs. It's hills and valleys and all that stuff, bumps in the road, things to get past. And the objective is to get past those things. Uh-huh. If you have something that you stuck at that's, you know, even going to therapy, like people need therapy. Things happen. Again, people have personalities. Everybody's a completely different individual. So it's no way, you know, it's like a puzzle piece. But every time, you know, humans make puzzles and the puzzle pieces ain't always perfectly fitting together. Every now and then you have one that don't, it goes where it's supposed to, it is where it's supposed to be, but it don't fit exactly perfect.
Yeah.
But it works. And that's the same thing when you're talking about a marriage and being successful. And even with those hills and valleys, if you're in a valley, the objective is to get out of that valley and get to the peak of the next hill. If you're on a hill, eventually that hill is going to turn into a descent. Mm-hmm. And eventually that descent is going to turn into another incline. So that's why I feel like, you know, an imperfect marriage is a perfect marriage. Not to say that, you know, oh, well, you know, if y'all been through a joint, I ain't saying every marriage, just because you still together don't mean it's a 10 out of 10.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all been shooting at each other and sleeping with each other's siblings and everything. That's not healthy or that's very toxic. But at the same time, yeah, you can't have a 10 out of a 10 marriage just because it's not you calling each other perfect or your relationship or everything that you do perfect. Mm-hmm. But however, the imperfections is what makes it perfect.
Okay. Okay. I feel you. You want to know my answer?
Yeah.
I feel like we fluctuate between an 8 and a 10. I feel like we hit 8 when our communication is off. Because I do feel like communication is the crux of keeping a successful marriage. But what I like about us is that we acknowledge when we're at an 8.
Yeah.
It's like we don't continue to let it continue to slip down to a 7, then to a 6,
right,
then to a 5. We have had in even more like recent times where we have been completely missing what the other person has said. To the point that, like, if we're filming, we have to go back, listen, and see who missed the message.
Yeah.
Who was the person, and it's been me sometimes, excuse me, where I truly thought I received his message clearly, and I am, fully, feet on the ground, flat footed, like, no, this is what I heard. And then having to go back and then me trying to figure out and reconcile. Yeah. Where did I either tune out a word or where did I misinterpret so badly what he said? Yeah,
we definitely both do that. And that's actually, even when it's, and I agree with you, mm-hmm. like from 8 to 10, but however, that's, to me, that's what makes it a 10 all the time. Mm-hmm. Even in those 8s, the fact that it's not dropping below, if you feel it's at an 8, it's like, all right, I missed the cue on this. This is what I thought was going on. And again, so a lot of times it can happen while we're recording. So that's the easiest part.
Right.
Is being able to go back and watch. It's like, now, this is what you said. This is what I said. This is how you took it. We go back and watch it. We can be like, okay, I was wrong. Yeah. Okay, you were wrong. Nah, it's cool. But when it's not recorded and we just both trying to recall what we think happened, that's where it could get rocky. But the problem is, the good part is we're working through that.
Yeah.
And that's part of having a successful marriage, a successful relationship.
Shay asked, what do I consider a danger zone number? 8, truly. Let me tell y'all, in school, I was a goody two shoes and grades mattered to me, okay? I was not here like, Hosi means completion. That was not me at all. It was like, I better be getting an A. And if I'm getting a B, it better been because, like, I just completely didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing. So I had to wing it. So for me, what else am I working on? While I have, I have career things, all that could go away, right? The things that I feel as though are a priority when it comes to what am I working on is this and my kids. And my kids are a lot easier because they're compliant, besides Amar. My kids are compliant. They kind of take my word for what it is. Where this is a person who's an adult like myself, so there has to be some sort of actual meeting of the minds in order for us to move forward in unity. If I say to the kids, we're going, let's get in the car, that's all the information that I need to provide him, them. With him, if I say we're going, get into the car, he needs to know why we're getting into the car, where we're going, if that's even a reason, like if there's a valid reason for us to go, for us to be like moving in the same place. And then I have to give him the respect to hear his side, because if he's not in agreement, he might be, no, we don't need to go. We need to sit here for this amount of time. And then is there a compromise? And then in a couple of hours, we'll go. So like, there's truly a, this is the thing. This is the thing that is most important for me to work on. So if it's something that I'm working on and actually putting in great effort, an 8 or in like percentage terms, an 80% to me is lackluster. This is not that anybody else needs to grade their marriage at all, or if they are thinking on the scale of a 1 out of 10, that if somebody else's marriage is at an 80, and listen, but you all have been struggling at a 50, go ahead and praise God for your 80%.
Yeah, let me tell you about my schooling experience. Now, I've worked my way out of some valleys. Sorry. So I'm like, it ain't a 0, is it? Yeah, so I can only improve from here? All right. Let's get to it.
especially because I can say for us, we are in a marriage of two people who want this marriage to be successful. So if you got two people who are both saying, we want this to be successful, we both want to be happy that we're choosing each other every day, we both want to be happy that we're doing life with each other. Mm-hmm. Why would we not want the A? Why would we not want to point out, like...
I mean, because with that comes, like, when you got all the positive things, or when you're working toward things and you come up with a solution, you get to have these, you know, those celebrations, like you said. Mm-hmm. And one of those celebrations can be, you know, you looking great in... your undergarments from Third Love.
I knew it. I was like, he's on his way into the ad transition. Hey. You guys, our third and final sponsor of the episode is Third Love. And let me tell you, they shocked me. Y'all, okay, TMI. But, you know, this is a TMI type of podcast. I don't be liking undergarments. I don't like to be wearing them.
You don't.
I'm not an underwear type of girl. I, you know, bras are a little more necessary now than what they've ever been. Yeah. But I was never one to spend a lot of money on bras because I wasn't a, you know, I used to think spending money on bras is only for heavy chested people. That's, you know, I just go get something from somewhere else. Well, let me tell you, Third Love changed my mind on everything.
Proved her wrong.
Proved me wrong. To be able to have something that is designed for my perfect fit is something that I had not experienced. So that's probably the reason why I had a little bit of an aversion to being like, why am I wearing, I'm not here for it.
Mm. Comparison.
What?
Go ahead.
So, what's great is that Third Love uses measurements of millions of women to design bras with an all-day comfort and support. They have signature memory foam cups, no slip straps, in a scratch-free band from sizes AA to I, including half cups, because sometimes you're not a full, like, C. You're like, I'm right there. I'm, like, right between the B and the C. Well, they've got half cups, and they have bands from 30 to 48. So they have you do, like, a fitting room quiz. Because most women don't realize that they're wearing the wrong size bra. Because I was definitely going way too small across the circumference of my back. I was giving them my college back circumference. And that's why I was wondering why I had stuff pooling over the back of my bra. And the quiz is fun. It's super interactive. It focuses on the size, the breast shape, and current fit issues, and also personal style. Because some women, they you don't like the little tiny strap. You want something a little bit thicker. Or you might not be a lace type of girl. You like satin. They find out all those things, okay? And then there's a fit stylist who's available for one-on-one chats. So if you have any questions, they can answer them. Also, the quality. Let me just talk about the bra and panty that I got from Third Love. I got this really pretty, kind of not olive, but kind of olive colored lace bra with a matching, thong, right? And thongs can be very irritating. Let's all be honest. Sometimes they be cutting up in you and you just like, you ain't supposed to be, nobody's supposed to be here. When I tell you this was the most comfortable situation. First of all, the bra laid so flat that like under even a t-shirt, you weren't getting any like lumps and like weird like textures showing through of the bra. And then even the thong, at the end of the day, I wasn't over there trying to dig for gold to get that thong up out of me. It fit and laid so perfectly. And I'm telling y'all, I'm being completely honest. Y'all know I ain't about the underwear life, but these underwear were everything. Also, what they have, which is something I'm really into now, is the go-to loungewear for lazy Sundays on the couch to weekend outings. They're loungewear that are made to be worn everywhere. They use premium cotton fabrics available in drapey, easy fit knits and 100% a cotton terry cloth and woven styles, coming from sizes extra small to 3X. All in the quality and fit you expect from Third Love. And also they give back. This is the last point I'll make. Third Love donates all their gently used return bras to women in need, supporting charities in their local San Francisco Bay Area across the United States. So far, Third Love has donated over $40 million in bras. So this is what we like you to do. Third Love knows your one true fit is out there. So right now, they're offering our listeners 20% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/argue now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 20% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/argue for 20% off today. And we thank Third Love.
Thank you, Third Love.
For sponsoring this podcast. So, I would say that has been a huge key to us being successful is wanting to not just be good, but to be great. Mm-hmm. And acknowledging when we're having missteps. Because what we noticed in watching Married at First Sight, there was this facade that it felt like they needed to keep up. When people would ask, how's your marriage doing? Oh, it's perfect. It's great. We're just doing so well. Where I do feel like the keeping up of appearances can be the thing that can bring a marriage to its knees. Mm-hmm. Quickly, because you're not getting a chance to deal with the problem because you're acting as though I can't let anybody know that there's anything going wrong
right
now. So we can't even address it. We can't even deal with it. And that's one of the things that I feel as though with Marcus and I it's not that I don't think I nitpick. But I do try to let my internal monologue in my head, if I feel like something is going wrong, to eventually be an external monologue to him. Because I know that me just talking to myself and being frustrated with Marcus, it's not going to do anything.
Ain't do you know nothing, man.
It's not going to do me any good. And I know, like, sometimes, and I'm sure you can speak on this. Do you ever feel, I don't want to say worried, but are you ever, like, hesitant to tell me anything because of how I'm going to respond to it, if you're feeling some type of way about something?
Absolutely.
Tell me. Yeah, expand.
A lot of times, I'm hesitant to say stuff, and I will express this to Angel, but I'm hesitant. It may take me a while to say it. Hesitant to say stuff because I'm not sure how to verbalize it past my emotion and the way I'm feeling at the time. This is like, yeah, like, oh, I'm mad. Versus me, okay, I'm angry because of this, and this. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like not knowing what to say or how to say it. Mm-hmm. So I will tell her, I don't want this to come off mm-hmm. a certain way.
He definitely puts a disclaimer.
Yeah, I put a disclaimer. It's like, but I don't know I don't know another way to say it, but this is how I feel. Or this is the way I felt when you did this. Or you're coming off this way.
And that was something that I feel like you worked to, because there were a couple of times in the beginning of our marriage where Marcus was talking out of the side of his neck. And I was like, now who are we talking to right now? And I knew he wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but he was just speaking out in the emotion that he was feeling in the moment. And so he's more cognizant of how the message is going to be received.
Yeah, and that all comes from experience. Mm-hmm. That comes from just being with each other. It's something that most people don't go into a marriage knowing of exactly how to speak to the other person. Like, because things change from dating to marriage. Not a lot the way people think, but they do change, especially over time. It changes a lot from dating. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, were you saying people, you know, putting up this whole persona is, facade of everything being perfect is one of the other couples saying, you know, I don't feel married because I don't feel like I have to be here. This doesn't feel like a chore. And that's something else that I think is put on married couples, or I think it's a negative thing that it's like, oh, well, this is something I got to do. This is work. This is this. It's like, it almost puts on the energy of, you don't want to be here, but you made a promise, so you have to be here. Mm-hmm. And that stuck out to me a lot, to hear people be like, you know, I don't feel married because I don't feel like this, or I don't feel like that, or I don't feel like, oh, I got to go home. Like, I'm excited to come home. That's marriage. You should be excited. You should be, that you have to be every single day, but you should want to be around the person that you want to be around.
I definitely think there is a real, like, I don't know. There is a, I don't know if it's a societal definition of what marriage has to look like or supposed to look like or how most people experience that I think a lot of people have a hard time breaking away from. Meaning, one thing, like I said, we've mentioned it multiple times, that one of the big blessings of our marriage was that we were not around our family for the beginning of our marriage. Mm-hmm. And what that did was, not that we don't love our family and miss our family, want to be around them, we were able to define our marriage for us without the pressures of how everybody else did theirs.
Yeah.
Right? And I do feel
as friends, you know, if you frustrated, she frustrated, I vent to somebody and them putting on their trash thoughts.
And not just that. Sometimes, even on our end, just we could potentially become envious of how other people are doing their stuff. Envious of, oh, she does this for him all the time. Or me feeling like he does this for her all the time and you don't do that. We had no frame of reference because none of our friends were married here. Right. We were the only ones married out here. So literally, we were figuring this out on our own. And I do think for a lot of people in the normal settings, having to break past what you see to define what you want is a lot harder than what people realize.
The other part of like having those outside influences is people within their marriage, they will be influenced by surrounding people. If they're around it, if they think it's normal. It's one of those things where it's like if I'm a dude, I'm hanging around a bunch of other married dudes, but all the other married dudes are cheating.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, this must be normal. Or, you know, he's going to get more and more comfortable of, you know, showing or accepting attention from other, you know, mm-hmm. women or something like that.
Yeah.
Same thing with women. It's like, oh, well, you know, oh, she got her side, dude. I ain't doing all that. We just going out to lunch. You know, we just texting every now and then. It's like, and then stuff like that comes more accepting.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with, you know, even arguing, the way you treat your spouse. People, without knowing it, can be easily influenced by those people that they're around, especially if they look up to them, if they've been married longer or something like that. And that's why we always say, don't let nobody else within your marriage. Like, that's y'all. That's between y'all.
Yeah. So, I do, back to the point that I was trying to make, I do think that figuring out a way to define what a successful marriage is for you mm-hmm. is the biggest key to having a successful marriage.
Yeah, for you. It's a fingerprint.
It's there. It's only you go. One. It's there's only a one. Fingerprint to
there's
it.
There's a fingerprint to every successful marriage. Don't you know? You can read the books and read the generals. The biggest thing, of course, is always communication, because that's any partnership, any relationship. Communication is going to be the absolute best thing. So that's all. They're all going to say that top thing is communication, and all success is usually in some type of parameter of communication.
Right.
But as far as what makes yours successful, ain't got nothing to do with what makes ours successful.
At all. That's and the reason why we said our marriage.
Yeah, our marriage. It's, because we're going to call it the success fingerprint. I'm going to write a book.
Oh.
It's going to be 6 pages. With illustrations.
I was like, how did we get here? So, like,
I could get a writer. I could write a book.
I didn't say you couldn't. It was just the very...
Being married to you? I am blessed.
Yeah, you are. So I can't enough, like, I guess, put a spotlight on that being one of the hardest. Like, it's already difficult to get on the same page with a person who is not yourself. Because, hell, sometimes you don't even be on the same page with yourself.
Yeah.
You say you're going to do something, then you find yourself not doing that thing. You ain't even on the same page. So get on the same page with somebody else. Boom. That's already difficult enough. And then having to feel as though you need to follow the blueprint of somebody else could potentially cause strife inside of your marriage that didn't necessarily need to be there. Hmm. So, there are a lot of things that the people that I grew up with in their marriages that we don't do. We don't operate out of one account. We operate out of different accounts.
Yeah, most people are like, what? I can't believe. Yeah, that's what we do. It works. For us.
We purposefully are, like, pretty much hesitant outside of work of making friends of the opposite sex. Some people are like, that's controlling, that's jealousy. It works for us.
Yeah.
But these are like...
She come around to, oh, my friend Jeremy, he, your friend who?
Jeremy.
Yeah, all right. Tell them come on through.
Both
y'all.
But that works. That's what...
Yeah, but that works for us.
That works for us. And so outside of communication, because that's everything, communicating on and calling a thing what it is when we're like, when we're missing each other, not being like, I mean, no, we're fine. No, calling that thing out of we're not understanding each other. We're missing each other. We're pissing each other off. We're not... I don't feel fulfilled sexually, or I feel as though you get dressed up for other people, not me. Calling those things out
mm-hmm.
instead of letting them becoming bigger problems. Defining how we want our marriage to be. And then, two, like, I feel showing the other person that, like, they are the person I want to do this with.
Showing appreciation.
Yes. Like, you, I want this life with you. This isn't, you aren't just an accessory to this life. Mm-hmm. You are the whole other half. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't a thing of, well, I mean, if you're not, then go on ahead. No. You are the other big portion. I don't want to be making moves that you aren't a part of. I don't want to be taking chances that you aren't also betting on. I think that has been a pivotal part. Even when you've changed jobs, it's never been...
Yeah, it ain't never been me. Oh, I'm going to do this. It's like, hey, so this is my plan.
Half the time, I'd be like, go. When he's ready to change, I'd be like, do it. Jump, please. And he's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, go on here, jump. So, knowing that we want to do life with each other. Anything you want to add? No. I knew you didn't.
Marcus, no, I got nothing to add because I got to eat and I got to get on this road.
Marcus has got to eat. I have an audition in 30 minutes. But we might pick this up some, or we might continue the conversation at another time with our Patreon. And we just do a live with them and talk. That would be fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. So, again, thank you to our sponsors. Sorry that we're having to jump off so quickly. But we thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to our sponsors, Third Love, Rothy, and Magic Spoon. You all are wonderful. Check them out. When you support our sponsors, you support us. Follow Marcus at Marcus Ain't on the Gram and Marcus Ain't on the Book. Mm-hmm. Me at That Chick Angel across all platforms. Absolutely. And be on the lookout for Tanksley TV.
Tanksley TV launching
this week. Oh, all right.
Shoot.
This week, boo. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Y'all all right, be blessed.
Y'all have a good one.
Bye.